Tell us how you have come to your knowledge about Zika.
So we first learned about the Zika virus and the potential risks to the pregnant woman and the developing fetus back in December. An outbreak of the Zika virus in parts of Brazil was noted, and at the same time they saw an increase in the number of cases of a really rare birth defect called microcephaly, or very small fetal head. And quickly, concern started to spread throughout the United States and around the globe about the potential risk for pregnant women if that virus does indeed spread around the world.
Can you explain to us how does the virus pass from mother to fetus?
So the virus is transmitted by a mosquito. It's a mosquito found in the southern United States, and it bites a pregnant woman and gets into her bloodstream, and it can potentially pass into the pregnancy through the placenta and infect the fetus.
So it's through her bloodstream through the placenta.
That's correct.
And if it happens early in pregnancy, is it more dangerous than later in pregnancy?
That's a great question. I think we're still learning what Zika virus means for a pregnant woman. Some of the early studies from Brazil suggest that if a woman is infected early in pregnancy, that the risk to the fetus is probably greater for the condition of microcephaly, whereas infections later in pregnancy may be more prone to having growth problems for the fetus, maybe early delivery.
So I read somewhere like late first trimester, early second trimester is probably the most dangerous time to be infected.
Yeah, I think that's typically the time we'd be able to diagnose microcephaly. I think the infection earlier in pregnancy, when the brain's really starting to develop, is really probably the critical time when the virus can get into the pregnancy, infect the developing brain tissue, and cause the brain abnormalities. So it's really the infection earlier is more concerning, but we're able to detect it a little bit later, mid-pregnancy.
So when is the baby's brain developing? I mean, from day one?
Yes, yeah, so the spinal cord and the brain begins to develop very early in the pregnancy, by a month into the pregnancy from the missed last menstrual period. The spine's already closed. The brain, rudimentary brain tissue is there already. And then it just develops and gets bigger and matures from there.
Tell us, we've heard about this Houston hospital that has a Zika clinic now to monitor women, counsel them, do testing. Are there plans here in the University Health System to do anything similar to that?
Sure, absolutely. So we've been talking for the past month about getting a process in place for patients to be able to be referred into us if they've been diagnosed with Zika, so that we can get them in for the appropriate testing, for ultrasound surveillance of the pregnancy, and provide counseling for their further care.
And so people from all over South Texas would be able to get services here?
Yeah, absolutely. We do outreach throughout the community and throughout South Texas, and we'll be promoting that to all the providers that we serve.
So as a maternal fetal medicine specialist, what kind of women and babies do you help?
So I take care of all types of women who have either medical or surgical complications in pregnancies, women who have exposures to infectious diseases such as Zika virus, as well as women who may be at risk for having a baby with birth defects. We do ultrasound surveillance, looking for potential problems, and if we identify those problems, help bring the woman through her pregnancy to the best outcome for her and her baby.
Have you had any Zika patients yet?
I've had probably about a dozen patients where we've actually screened for Zika so far. Knock on wood, they've all been negative. But we're anticipating with the mosquitoes being everywhere today, and with some cases emerging in Florida at least, that we may start to see that in South Texas as well.
Mm-hmm. So do you believe, with all your research, do you think by the end of our summer we'll have locally transmitted cases like Florida?
I think that is very possible. I think we have the mosquitoes here. Both strains of mosquito that carry Zika are found throughout San Antonio and South Texas. We are right adjacent to one of the endemic countries, Mexico. Lots of patients travel from the Caribbean to South Texas. So I think inevitably it's very likely we will have some local transmission cases diagnosed here similar to Florida.
Do those mosquitoes live all year long here? Because it doesn't really get cold.
So the main season for mosquitoes is kind of end of April to mid-October, but really for the fall and winter season, because it's cold enough, the mosquito larvae don't develop well, so we really don't see a lot of mosquitoes. So we'd expect that as the Zika epidemic wears on, as we get into the late fall, early winter, that we should see things subside somewhat with concern.
So maybe if it doesn't arrive here in South Texas or our Gulf Coast on Texas before October, we might not have to worry about it till the spring?
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I think we're still learning a lot about Zika virus, and we know this mosquito's patterns, but I think that's probably correct.
Now, once you have this virus, then you're pretty much protected from getting it again.
Great question. I don't think we know that answer today. I think based on some of the early studies, they've shown that women or men who've had Zika virus and have had antibodies checked, they have antibody levels that could be protective for the rest of their life. But we don't know if somebody could be reinfected or not at this point.
If you're a woman and you have the Zika virus, you're not pregnant, but then later on you get pregnant, does it affect that future pregnancy?
So we don't think so. Today, the CDC recommends that if a woman has confirmed Zika, to wait at least 8 weeks before she gets pregnant. For a man who gets confirmed Zika and the couple's trying to get pregnant, they recommend 6 months before they try to get pregnant. We don't know of any long-term effects with Zika for reproductive issues.
What is it that makes this virus so insidious?
Well, it was first discovered in the 1950s and really was thought to be really a mild illness. Most people will just have a runny nose, red eyes, fever, some joint aches, and it goes away within 7 to 10 days and has no consequences at all. The problem is in pregnant women, it's been associated with the condition of microcephaly, and that's where the concerns at. But for most people, it's just a mild cold and it goes away very quickly, no long-term consequences.
Okay, follow my logic here. Men seem a little less concerned about this than women, and yet men are controlling it in men is just as important as controlling it in women. What kind of message can you give to the community about why we all need to worry about it? I mean, I've had my kids, but I don't want it because I don't want to spread it to a pregnant woman. What kind of message can we get out that this is a community effort?
I think the most important thing is preventing Zika from getting into the community and into the mosquito population here altogether. So that means we all need to be using mosquito repellents. We all should be trying to avoid travel to countries where there might be Zika infection prevalent. Because once the mosquito population does have the Zika virus, then it could spread to anybody, men or women. And we don't know what the potential risk for children is at this point. We don't think there's a risk, but ideally we just want to keep Zika out of the community to start with. And the best way we can do that is primary prevention for men, women, children by using mosquito repellents, avoiding exposure to mosquitoes.
So a lot of this starts in your own yard.
Absolutely. Getting rid of freestanding water. If you have a tire in your backyard or a pool that doesn't have chlorine in it, get that taken care of so it's not there. They have these things called mosquito dunks that have a type of bacteria that actually destroys the mosquito larva that can be put in freestanding water that can be helpful. Using mosquito repellents religiously when you go outside to prevent being bitten altogether. So just kind of all those things, avoiding any freestanding water in your yard, using repellents as needed.
And you're supposed to put the repellent over sunscreen, correct?
That's correct.
And why is that?
It potentially can affect the effectiveness of the sunscreen if you put the mosquito repellent down first, and it may alter the absorption of the mosquito repellent.
And what about your clothes? Should pregnant women especially treat their clothes?
So there's a chemical, a mosquito repellent called permethrin that can be used to treat your clothing. The clothing should be treated, let it dry before you go outside.
And people say, wow, is it safe to use DEET if I'm a pregnant woman? Doesn't that get into my bloodstream and affect my baby?
So there have been a few large studies with DEET containing mosquito repellents. It's thought to be safe. The largest study was over 800 and some women from Thailand where they received DEET containing mosquito repellents and only showed a small proportion of women had cord blood levels of the DEET in the baby when it was born. And outcomes up to a year in those babies was fine. There was no concern at all.
So if it was your family, would you tell a pregnant woman to use DEET?
Yes, and we do every day.
Yeah. So what kinds of questions have you been getting from patients? Because I'm sure, especially in the last month or two, women coming to you for help have had questions.
So probably the biggest one is, what should I be using for mosquito repellents, and is DEET safe to use? We have handouts in our clinics that we give to patients to talk about the CDC recommendations for using EPA-approved mosquito repellents with DEET, using permethrin to treat their clothing, using bed netting if they have to go outdoors and have to sleep outdoors. So that's probably the most common question I get. Other questions that arise are, I'm thinking about traveling somewhere where Zika is endemic, and I really can't postpone my travel. What can I do to try to minimize risk? And again, using repellents, barriers to prevent being bit by mosquitoes, long sleeve clothing, avoid being outdoors during times when you know the mosquitoes are active.
Yeah, a young woman listening may say, Should I postpone a pregnancy because we're in the middle of this looming sort of threat?
Tough question. I think some people have specific timing for when they want to get pregnant. I think if you could delay pregnancy, it might not be the worst thing in the world. But if you're using mosquito repellents and you're cautious about being exposed to mosquitoes, I see no reason why you couldn't get pregnant anytime.
Do you think, remember in the early 80s when HIV really did change the sexual habits of people, do you think that Zika has the potential to, at least in the short term, change the sexual habits of both single people and married people?
Well, we do know that Zika can be transmitted sexually from a man to a woman. We don't know. I don't think it's raised itself to that level. It's not a real common mode of transmission. It's more the mosquito, the transmission. So I don't think we've had that same degree of concern with sexual transmission that we've had with HIV, where that is the only way it was transmitted or the primary way. So I don't see that as being a big concern or changing things a lot.
Mm-hmm. But it would change if you were infected. Let's say we did have local transmissions and men and women were getting infected. Then you would have to practice safe sex for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. So if a partner has been infected, a male partner, they recommend 6 months of not before you try to get pregnant. If the male partner is infected and his wife's pregnant, they recommend using condoms appropriately throughout the pregnancy to avoid the maternal exposure.
But also it's any kind of sex, right?
Yes, and any kind of sex where there'd be potential transmission of body fluids.
Do you find this particularly concerning for the patients you treat?
I do, because I think we don't know everything today. I think we're learning more every day. The guidelines change every few weeks. So that uncertainty is scary, I think, for us as providers. We can't look a patient in the eye and tell her there's zero risk or there's X risk. We still don't know those final answers yet. And are there long-term risks? I mean, what about the baby that may have been in utero, doesn't develop microcephaly? Are there any long-term risks for that baby? Or what about their children at home? So I think the uncertainty factor is a little bit unnerving for all of us right now. The good news is we're learning stuff very quickly. Vaccines are in rapid development and anticipated to probably be out by within the next year or so. So I think it's really helped to have everybody engage this topic so quickly to work on efforts to both prevent Zika and develop vaccines.
So the bottom line is, should pregnant women be afraid? Because I think some of them are.
I don't think so at this point. I think being cautious, wearing mosquito repellents, avoiding mosquito exposure is critically important. Avoiding travel to any countries where we know Zika is endemic, especially if we're trying to get pregnant, if somebody's trying to get pregnant. For most of us, though, if we're not trying to get pregnant and I'm a male, there's really probably no effect for us at all aside from a mild nuisance infection for a few days. So it's really just the pregnant women, and even there with proper precautions, I think the concern's low.
Mm-hmm. Are pregnant women or women trying to conceive, are they being routinely tested for Zika now on any level?
We're asking all pregnant women who come to our clinic if they've traveled to any of the countries where Zika is endemic, and that will include Miami now that there's some local cases being derived there. We're not offering testing for women unless they come in with symptoms or they've traveled to symptoms and they've traveled to countries where the infection is prevalent today.
If that changes and there's local transmission here, will that change?
There are processes being in place throughout the state, the community, and here at UHS to prepare for that contingency. If we have a local outbreak, then we'll be able to offer testing more rapidly for local patients.